We start our beautiful Advent season today with this first Sunday of Advent. And we're going to do something a little different this Advent. Excuse me. The Archbishop has asked us, all the priests of the Archdiocese, to preach on a certain theme on these 4 weeks of Advent. So that's sort of unusual. That rarely happens. In his time here, he's never asked us to preach and never told us what to preach about. But this year, he wants all the priests to preach on the kerygma. The kerygma being the proclamation of the gospel. He wants us to get back to grassroots. He wants us to re-examine what we believe as Christians. He wants us to think about the fundamentals of Christianity. And so, back in May, a priest called Father John Ricardo, some of you will know, he's sort of famous on the circuit of Catholic talkers and podcasts, this sort of stuff. Father John Ricardo runs an organization called Acts 29, and they came to give a retreat to our priests in May of this year, and he preached to us over a period of 3 days about the kerygma. The kerygma, kerygma being a Greek word, means proclamation. It's what the early Christians used to describe what they were doing. They were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Father John came and did that, and we were duly impressed, all of us. It was a tremendous retreat that we did, a convocation, a special convocation. And as a result of that, the archbishops asked us all to preach on the kerygma for the next 4 weeks. So that's what I'll be trying to do. And there will always be a homily outline in the back of the church. I printed some out. So if you want some more takeaways from this, you've got some bullet points. And I've mentioned a couple of resources. Father John Ricardo has got an hour-long video about the kerygma that's available free on YouTube. And he also wrote a book called Rescued, which is a great resource. And really, our little homilies are going to be sort of a précis of his book. So it's in four parts, and he summarizes like this: created, captured, rescued, and response. They're the four parts of the kerygma. And today we're going to talk about created. So this goes back to the beginning. So I'm not even going to talk about God becoming one of us, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. That's week three. We've got to go back right to the beginning, and we've got to think about creation. And we've got to understand where we fit within creation before we can move any further forward, before we can talk about being captured and rescued by Christ, and then what our response is to all this. So today we talk about creation. And Father John would say this: the question is, why is there something rather than nothing? We've got to think about, why is this world? Why does it exist? Why was it created? And not how it was created. That doesn't really make of interest to us. But the question is, why? Why creation? Well, we as human beings have had many attempts to explain why creation. One of them was the ancients, the Greeks and the Romans, who tried to explain everything by creating gods to explain away phenomena that they'd experience in the world. So you have a god of fire, you have a god of the sea, you have a god of love, you have a god of revenge, you have a god of war, you have a god of doorways, all these things to explain certain things and behaviors of mankind. But these gods were not like our God, because they were fickle gods, and they seemed to enslave humanity and punish humanity. They had no regard for man as such, and they would cause wars between themselves, and they didn't like each other, and they didn't like women either. And you look at that, how they treated the women. So all these gods were fighting and at war and unjust, and told lies, and treated man like a slave. But they were used to explain away the phenomena that we saw, and we didn't have the science to explain it. Then comes Greek philosophy, someone like Aristotle, that would come to the point of saying, yes, there is some sort of intelligence behind this creation. It is not these gods that we've invented, these myths. But there's got to be some cause for all this. There's got to be a beginning. Because nothing begets nothing, but we've got something. So something must have come up with this. So he comes to the point of saying, well, there is an intelligent being. There's got to be something that started it all off. But he says, It's impersonal. We can't get to know this God. It's not a relationship we can have with a God. It's just like a, you know, you'd say, like a massive big computer that did all this stuff. But we can't have a relationship with God. So that's sort of some Greek philosophy that Aristotle would propose. And then we move on, and then we have this thing we call scientism, where science can explain everything. And we live in that world right now. And science can explain everything, and what it can't explain is not worth explaining, right? And this is where we come to the point of atheism, where because we can't explain God without science, we say there is no God. And that one day everything will fit into that universal formula, that universal theory that physicists talk about, that explains everything, and then we'll know what this is all about. Scientism tells us the world is created and can be explained by math and physics. And what we don't know now, we'll eventually find out when we work on these universal theories. Whereas we believe that God, who has revealed himself to us through sacred scripture and church, created this universe, created these universes. And we will go back to the book of Genesis and work out what happened. Now, in the book of Genesis, there are two creation accounts, and they're not the same. And that's God's way of saying, don't take this literally. And there are other clues in the Genesis creation that you don't take it literally, about 7 days. You know, people will scoff, scientists will scoff and say, oh, you say you've made the heaven and earth in day two, and he did all this on 6 days and then had a rest. Well, no, it's poetry. It's inspired poetry. And we know that by the fact that the sun and moon were made on day four. And you can't have day one, two, and three without the sun and moon. So we know that something's not right there, right? But the idea is that God created, put into being this universe. And it doesn't matter how he did it, because we can believe in the Big Bang or not. That's up to you. That's some science that is proposed, and it seems probable. And by the way, it was first proposed by a Catholic priest physicist, Father George Lemaître, in 1927. So it has got no contradiction between our faith and reason and science in this. We can believe that's how it happened. The question is, why did it happen? Why did God put this all into being? And when you think about it, to try and tie our tiny little brains around this, some of the statistics that Father Ricardo goes through in his book that I may have got slightly wrong, but it gives you an idea of this. He says, you know, when you look at the book of Genesis and the Lord says, and then he made the heaven and earth, and then there's just a little line at the end, it says, oh, and the stars. As though someone forgot to write that down, he made the stars as well. Well, in our galaxy here, there are 100 billion stars. And there are a billion galaxies. I haven't got a clue what a billion times a billion is, but it's a lot, all right? 100 billion stars. And Earth is just a tiny one. The biggest star in our galaxy is Ursus Major, the Big Bear in Latin. And you can fit something like 60 million Earths in the Big Bear star. And there are a billion stars in the universe, in the galaxy, and there are a billion galaxies. And this has been going on for a billion years. Now, all this, you can say, and you need to make a decision about this, all this is just an accident and chaos when a couple of pieces of hydrogen atoms bumped into each other and sparked off this whole thing. Or you can believe that God created this. It's fundamental. It's fundamental to the kerygma. Before we go any further and find out how we fell as human beings and how God came to redeem us and offer us eternal salvation, we've got to decide whether there is a God and he created all this in intelligence, not by some random act of chaos, or we just came to be and we fell together, that we're just a clump of atoms that just can think. It's very important. because it's the first part of the kerygma, is why did he do this? And our faith tells us he did it out of love and goodness. He did it out of love and goodness to communicate his goodness and love to us, to create us eventually and put us in this galaxy, in this universe. He did it out of love that we might participate in his life. And that's the next question. If he did all this, why? And then why did he create us? Think about that, because it's ultimately important. Why are you here? Are you an accident in an accidental galaxy? Or did he create you and know you in his mind from the beginning, in the presence which we call God, where there is no time, that you were created by him with a task, with something to do, with a purpose in this life? And that at the end of this life, you will participate in his divinity, you will be godlike because you will know God and you will be in communion with him. And that's why he created you. And furthermore, he created you in his image and likeness. He didn't create you as little robots or giving us some sort of artificial intelligence that we're programmed to do certain things. He made us like him because he gave us free will. So we can choose stuff. We can choose him or not choose him. And that, out of everything he created, there is nothing as noble as the human being, because he gave us that free will. He gave us that spark of divinity in us. We're a soul with a body for now. And that's the best way to look at it, because he created us for himself, created us to be happy in this world and happy with him for all eternity. That's creation. He did it to communicate his love and his goodness for us, and that we would participate in that. And then the story continues, because some things changed, right? The fall came and we gave in to sin. And then sin and death entered the world. And that's next week, when we'll talk about the rescue of the world by God and his Son. But for now, we've got to come to that point, because if someone says to you outside, what do you Christians, what do you believe? Or if someone comes up to you and has no meaning in life and says, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm living on the streets, I'm a drug addict, there's no point in me living, I might as well be dead. What do you say? What is the Christian message you can give them? What is the kerygma? We must be able to do that. St. Peter tells us we must be able to explain a reason for our hope. And the reason for our hope is that beginning, which is God created this galaxy out of love and goodness. And he created us in his image and likeness that we would be happy with him for all eternity.